Notice! Notice! This midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
Welcome back. Minisode.
Are you doing Ape Stronger together? What's happening over here?
Yeah. Ape Stronger together.
Okay. All right. I get it.
Yeah. Welcome. Patreon.com.
I'll start today, boys. This is a crop circle popped up, but it's one of those crop circles that's interesting where none of the crops are broken. They're all perfectly bent, perfectly lined up.
Impossible.
No way. Could be shown by human hands.
The video, and then I'll read the little article. Copy, paste. Hey, there's a video.
Okay.
This is from Coast to Coast. While the 2025 UK crop circle season may be over, it appears that the phenomenon is not yet finished for the year, as a mysterious formation was recently discovered in Brazil. According to a local media reporter, the sizable and fairly complex design was found on a farm in the community of Ipuacu, I think is how you say that. I apologize. Resident Ruan Ramillo, who lives near the location where the formation was found, spotted the embossed crops while driving past the field on Monday morning. Intriguingly, he noted that his dogs had been unusually agitated that previous evening, but, quote, we didn't see any lights or anything like that. When the crop circle was presumably in the process of being created. The appearance of the formation, or agroglyph, as such designs are called in Brazil, which I love that fucking name.
Agroglyph was not, is great.
That's fucking great. It's way better.
Like instead of crop circle?
Yeah, that's tight. Fucking call it an agroglyph, dude.
Agroglyph.
This was not a complete surprise to Ramillo, though, as Ipuacu has something of a strange history with the phenomenon. A crop circle was first discovered in the community back in 2008 and has since become an almost annual event occurring around October or November every few years. To that end, Ramillo marveled that residents had begun to wonder if they would see a new formation this year. Quote, then out of nowhere, the mysterious mark appeared on Monday morning. To this day, no one has seen anything. We are intrigued because many drawings have enormous perfection, he mused. You can't understand how someone would do it at night, so fast and so well done. It's very mysterious. The discovery of the Ipuacu's formation prompted Brazilian UFO researcher Luiz Prestes Jr. to spring into action, collecting soil samples and documenting the design before the property owner smartly harvested the crops to prevent the farm from becoming a destination for onlookers. And based on his examination of the scene, the ufologist reportedly opined that the formation was genuinely unusual and not merely the work of artistic pranksters, quote, the design presented a precise alignment. The plants remained intact, just lying down. These details reinforce that it was not necessarily human hands that crafted the curious crop circle.
I want to say that it's precise, okay? But I'm looking at it right here. And number one, looks like they're shouting out the Chilluminati. There's like
a little bit.
An eye of...
Shout out to the aliens.
Yeah. There's an eye-like logo in the center of this thing. But also not centered. Like, if you look at it, if you really look at it, the circle in the middle and the larger circle in the middle are not centered in the largest circle. Everything's kind of towards one side.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to tell because, like, the middle circle at the top of it where it's going to, like, touch the bottom of the triangle, I think that's just because we're at an angle. Like, we're seeing shadow.
I'm at nine seconds.
Oh, I got to go. I'm at just a zero.
It's like a little out of whack. Yeah,
I'm at 9 seconds, and I just want to say it's a directly overhead shot. That, like, it looks like they were close but no cigar on this one. Like, it looks like almost precise, but as somebody with a little bit of a trained eye, I can see that everything in this is like the middle circle is like not centered in the triangle.
Go to 39 seconds. It looks more centered than that at that position.
This is exactly what I'm saying. This is an angle. This is like where it's sort of like not directly overhead. So you're seeing it
maybe
look more Like, this one at 9 seconds, to me, looks... I mean, look, say what you will. I've seen some stuff in these fields that I have no idea how it's possible.
Oh, for sure.
Like, no. I've seen, like, that alien face and all these other crazy ones, like, that are genuinely complex. This one, if it's an alien, this dude is taking a fucking driver's test. Mm. If it's a person... This is like one dude who's really good at this, but he's only one guy, so he can't do super good measurements because it's just not centered. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It's pretty straight, but it's not that, like, I don't know. The lines of the triangle aren't that straight either. Like, I could be nitpicky.
It doesn't pass the smell test. It doesn't pass the sniff test for you.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah.
That's mine. I just found it interesting.
Yeah, I like it. I like the design.
Keep it alien themed for my Minnesota.
Yeah,
it's love cool to see design. It. All right, what do you got, boys?
Do you want to go first, Mr. Fasciani, or should I wow you?
let me take it because I'm gonna do a little reading from Our Paranormal real quick. Okay. This one is from Man Bear Pig Cereal. It was posted today. I like this story. It's pretty chunky and good, and has a lot going on in it. So I thought that was cool. It is called, I Believe My Friend and I Had an Encounter with a Skinwalker or Wendigo Over 20 Years Ago, which I thought, you know, better than an alien or a ghost in the sense that you don't get that many that are just this story. This is, you know, like usually it's an abduction or a ghost or whatever. Anyway, over 20 years ago, my friend and I had an encounter that until recently I had chalked up to a dream. A recent conversation with said friend made me realize the encounter was not a dream. In the 1990s and 2000s, my parents owned property on a small lake in mid-Michigan. There were dozens of other people that owned property on and around this lake. Lucky for me, there was a large group of kids my same age who also had parents who owned property on this lake. Most of the people on the lake used the property as summer vacation homes, but a few people did live there year-round. One night, I was with a group of about a dozen of us hanging out on the deck, overseeing the lake on the property of a girl we were all friends with. This girl lived on the opposite side of the lake as the rest of us in our friend group. Over the course of the night, people started going home because of curfews, getting tired, etc. Which, yeah. At around 2:30 a.m., it was just the girl whose place it was, a friend she had brought from home, my two friends who I'll call Mike and Tom, and myself. So that's five, right? The girl and her friend decided to go in for the night, so Mike, Tom, and I had to walk around the lake back to where all three of our parents had property. Mike and I were 15 at the time, and Tom was 14. My girlfriend at the time, who I will call Ashley, was with us at our friend's place earlier in the night, but had gone home because of the curfew. Normally, I would have done the same because Ashley and I had similar curfews, but this particular night I was staying at Mike's, so I didn't do that. Instead, Ashley walked home with some of our other friends. When we left the girl's property, everyone knew the plan was for me to stay the night at Mike's. This becomes important later. Tom's family property was next to my parents' property. Mike lived two streets over and down the road, about a 10-minute walk from where Tom and I's parents' properties were. As we were walking back, Mike was telling me how we'd have to be quiet when we got into his place so as not to wake up his sister and mom. Tom threw out the idea that he had put up a tent on his parents' property and said, "Why don't we all just sleep in the tent with him? And we now have to worry about it," and Mike and I agreed. We all got back to Tom's, and all of us laid down in our spots we picked in the tent. Mike fell asleep pretty quickly, while Tom and I stayed up talking. Tom had a thing for the friend of the girl whose place we were just at, and we were talking about how we could try to get with her. During our conversation, we heard some rumbling from the outside, followed by a voice calling all three of our names. Also, people did used to talk about how to try and get with girls in an earnest way when they were young, in tents, outside, sleeping under the stars. That did really actually happen not that long ago. So there you go. During our conversation, we heard some rumbling from the outside, followed by a voice calling all three of our names. The voice sounded exactly like Ashley's. At first, this did not set off any alarms. We responded, and the voice asked us to open the tent and let her in. I moved to open up the tent when Tom stopped me and pointed to the silhouette outside of our tent. The silhouette looked nothing like Ashley. It was much taller than Ashley, appeared to be somewhat hunched over, and did not seem to have long hair like Ashley did. Tom and I froze, and the voice again asked us to open the tent and let her in. We both didn't know what to do, but eventually I pretended the zipper was stuck and not working. Ashley then said she couldn't believe she snuck out just for us to mess with her and not let her in. After some more attempts to convince us, Ashley walked away and we never heard anything again. Tom and I fell asleep not long after this. Mike never woke up while all of this was going on. The next day, Tom and I never discussed what happened. I met up with Ashley and apologized for not letting her in the tent last night at Tom's. She was confused, said, I thought you were staying the night at Mike's and that she never snuck out last night. Her sister corroborated her story as they shared a room in her parents' place, and she told her sister when she snuck out because her sister would cover for her with her parents, which is very much like Twin Peaks, I guess. It was at that point I realized she was right. The only people who would have known Mike and I stayed at Tom's last night were Mike, Tom, and I. This was before cell phones had GPS and before smartphones. Text messages cost 25 cents apiece, so texting was not prevalent like it was today. People called each other if they wanted to talk, and none of us had called anyone after leaving the girls' house on the other side of the lake. I chalk this up to a dream at this point. Tom's parents unfortunately lost their place to property tax foreclosure the following summer, and I lost touch with them for years after this. Mike and I remained friends for a couple summers after this. Ashley and I would be in an on-again, off-again relationship for the next summer or two after this, but never talked about this night again. I never thought about it again until last week. As adults, all of us become friends on social media. We rarely talk to each other, but we are all social media friends. Pretty much all of our friend group from the lake is. Mike unfortunately died a couple years after the night in question in a car accident that was not at all his fault. It was very sad, and one of the last times I saw everyone from the lake in person was at his funeral. Last week, Tom and I got to texting through FB Messenger about the Detroit Lions, and he mentioned this last night for some reason, and he mentioned how stupid we were for being scared and not letting Ashley in the tent. At this point, I felt a sinking in the pit of my stomach. This was no dream if Tom remembered it, and Ashley had told me she never snuck out all those years ago. I told Tom this and asked if he was sure he remembered it, and he said, oh yeah, it was the night we stayed up talking about me wanting to hook up with the girl's friend. He described exactly what I saw, something probably 8 to 10 feet tall, with a hunched back and short hair. He too thought he had dreamed it, and him bringing it up was his way of confirming if it was a dream or not. There is no question in either of our minds what this thing's silhouette looked like and that it had Ashley's voice. We never experienced anything like this before or after this night. To our knowledge, nobody else around the lake had either. Mike had never mentioned anything to either of us before he died. I've heard of skinwalkers before and never really thought about them. After my conversation with Tom, I looked into them more, and my research led me to believe a Wendigo is more in line with what we saw since we aren't in the southwestern U.S. or near a Native American reservation. I don't really believe in the paranormal, but I have no other explanation for what we encountered that night. What does everyone else think?
Fascinating. Yeah, I don't know. It's
I mean, that's
shit.
Neat. It's but it's like very tropey.
Yeah, that's the one thing I was going to say is it has ghost story vibes.
Yeah, like the minute you were like at the tent, I was like, okay, so it's not the next day. She's gonna be like, I don't know. It wasn't me. Like immediately picked up on that.
He was like, that'll be important later. And I was like, I see where this is going. Yeah. I find that I enjoy this story very much. And I think it's good and like could be real. Like, you know, like it's not that unbelievable of a story, which works for me. But you know, I don't know. It was well told. And, you know, I do find that most stories have a lot less satisfying elements to them. But this one walked the line. Sure. Walked the line perfectly.
Love it. Jesse, blow our minds.
All right. Gentlemen, folks at home, I've got you today. This is super cool. So in Greece right now, I want to send you this image just so you can see it. Zip, zop, zoppity doo. There you go. What you're looking at is a top-down, high-altitude photo. You can kind of get the image of the base camp nearby, or the you can see kind of on the right, and then down at the bottom where stuff is set up. So that's the size
like nipple,
of how
dude.
Big you're looking at.
Nipple. I was like, a little temple, maybe.
So anyway.
Wow. Okay. So this is like...
big.
Like fucking Prometheus. Like
yeah, this
level.
Is, this yeah. is very big.
Enormous.
So this is a discovery in Crete. And for those of you who know Crete in mythology, you know that we're looking at Minoan period. And so last year, excavations began on a unique, very strange Minoan building that, you know, as they dug and dug, was revealed that on top of this hill, the Papora Hill, so it's like overlooking everything, in Crete, it's revealed this is like, as they dug, it was a circular design. And then, as they kept digging, it became very clear they were looking at something that was like constructed to be kind of unique and weird and strange. And so this ancient site is now being called one of the most archaeologically important finds of the 21st century. And, you know, the Greek Reporter and a bunch of other websites are talking about this. But basically, according to Greek mythology, a labyrinth was constructed by Daedalus for King Minos of Crete and served the purpose of imprisoning a beastly monster, the Minotaur.
Fucking way.
And then Theseus goes in there, murders the Minotaur, but they're saying this might actually be the labyrinth with which that story was based off of.
What? I wonder if they were
sent in like similarly to like Colosseum. Maybe they sent in somebody wearing like a bull's head.
And yeah,
like
I mean, I'm not saying that there was a Minotaur, but they're definitely saying this could be the thing that this prompted the legend. Everything.
You're telling me there was a guy with a maze?
Yeah.
Dude, what else are you going to do back then, dude?
Did we already know that the guy was real with the maze?
Daedalus? I mean,
King Minos, all that stuff is like legit. Like, we are discovering. So the Minoan culture, like a lot of cultures, when there was that big, like, what would you call that? Like the collapse of like, there was a time period where all of the Mediterranean just got like wiped out.
Okay.
And no one's really sure why. They think it's because these dudes from the ocean showed up, but they're like, where did those dudes come from? Or was, and so this was kind of the casualty of that, if I'm remembering correctly. And so they're just starting to like dig into Minoan culture rather than Crete culture. And so now they're discovering things, and like, this could, in fact, be part of this.
The fucking labyrinth?
I don't know, man. I guess it makes sense, right? Like, these legends can be born out of that because it. I always think about the fact that, what was it, during the Roman Empire, the Egyptian pyramids were already ancient by then?
Yeah. Even to the ancient Egyptians, the pyramids were old.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like this shit, we're just, this shit buried underneath that we just still haven't discovered.
This just feels to give you more information, one step towards like finding Princess Peach's castle or some shit.
Sure. I mean, like, the building at Papora possesses a unique circular configuration, which archaeologists involved in the excavation say is unlike any other structure in prehistoric Crete and has no known parallels in ancient structures throughout the Aegean. What the building is close to 50 meters in diameter and covers 18,000 square feet. That doesn't seem right, but whatever.
18,000
is 1,800 square meters.
All right, good. All right. And this is a typo on this website, which also makes it large for a structure of this period. Within the primary circular structure is a series of 8 stone rings, which appear at different elevations, with the largest feature, a circular component known as Zone A, appearing in the center. The closest comparison between the Cretan labyrinth structure and any other known building, as far as its appearance, are the similar circle shapes of some funerary buildings and residences associated with regions like the Mesopotamia, Oman, and Syria from the early Bronze Age. Early excavations, archaeologists noted that although some aspects of the structure's original appearance remain undetermined due to damage that sustained over thousands of years, the original almost had a conical shape, and the structure's oddly situated spaces connected by narrow openings were quickly deemed to be labyrinthine.
This is blowing my mind, genuinely. That's everything awesome. About this is blowing my mind.
Oh, I love it. It's so cool.
This feels like you're telling me they found Hercules' grave.
Right? I mean, like, it's that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Again, there's no anyone who's like, Minotaurs are real. No evidence of Minotaurs, but a labyrinthian structure discovered in the place where it would be, right there.
It's like finding the Tower of Babel. It's like finding the Garden of Eden. It's like, it's unbelievable.
Pretty cool. I love this. Oh, it's so cool. Like, I just wonder what now. My mind is like, what made the legend? What was it about this real place that formed the legend of the Minotaur? Why the Minotaur?
It could literally just be mazes are fucking scary as fuck.
Yeah. What if it was an entertainment place you would take the kids on the weekend?
Like a hedge maze?
I mean, it could have, like, it literally could have been.
Who knows? That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
You think the Minotaur myth is just like some kind of like sick commercial from back in the day?
That would be so good.
Like, it's like, it was possible.
It was the mascot that just passed through marketing into myth.
He's like gritty. Yeah.
That's from awesome. Marketing into
to myth.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Jesse. I like that a lot.
Like the cavemen from Geico.
Exactly.
They just get their own TV like show. Them.
Yeah.
They did get their own TV show briefly, right?
They did. Yeah. 100%. You are right about that, my guy.
Anything can happen in this crazy world.
Make world, dude.
Thank you all so much for supporting us here at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. We'll be back next week with another minisode for you. We appreciate you. We love you.
Bye. Bye.